When it comes to who I am, I'm severely clear, my dear. No fear in this new frontier, if I've been planning this trip for many light years. You had your World War I, and the universe watches. World War II, you exploded the atomic bomb, and there was no judgment on our part, because the ego detaches. But the alert regarding Earth was warning. The kids have found the matches. We need a team to go down to this land of extreme natural beauty. But be careful when you enter Babylon, for they will slaughter you for less than rubies. So there I stood. Kurt Nugent, light worker, system buster, illusion crusher, answering the call of duty. They said, light worker, we greet you with glad tidings. But in your previous lives, you've been murdered many times simply for your writings. And your mission today? It's not as easy as it seemed. You see, your clarity is now pristine. But before your insertion, your memory will be redeemed. And up in your rival, you'll be wiped clean. The vibration of Earth is dense, the frequency low. So stay grounded in light wherever you go. The illusion is so thick, it's ridiculous. Even the so-called food was manufactured to make you sick. Everything is backwards in this twisted reality. The justice system is built up on inequality. Lawmen dressed in uniforms of brutality. Schools destroy education, doctors destroy health, and religion destroys spirituality. The leaders were placed there by puppeteers who don't care. So they instructed them in how to be cavalier in the way that they smear and scare. The planet is covered in fear. Engineered to leave you so unclear that you could be enslaved with light beers and empty careers. Failed to recall your mission and you could easily become a pioneer trapped in third density for 26,000 years. This is not an easy mission. You're going to need a way to regain your memory fast. So even though it will make you an outcast, we suggest you choose at least one parent who's blinded by religion, because you're going to need a contrast. Everything is a test. Ignore the chorus, stay focused, and manifest the best. Every division is an illusion set up to ensure your confusion. You see, you're a part of everything. And everything is a part of you. So there's no race, no religion, no politics, no sexual preference that should ever divide you. You are one. And the minute you participate in judgment, you hit the pavement with your enslavement. Most of the planet will operate in two strands of DNA. You will have the ability to operate in 12. But the only way you can do this is to make sure that the ego yields to the higher self. Calmly, I replied. With the power of the Trinity, I will transcend much energy. I know what's ahead of me. I understand that thoughts create reality. And I've stood on the zenith and seen it. Victory's ours and I'm going to redeem it. So insert me under the sign of Scorpio so that I can transcend from Scorpion to Eagle to Phoenix. They said, Kirk, inserting you directly into Babylon is far too dangerous. We will place you with a different team so that you won't be neutralized immediately upon hitting the scene. We'll start you off in Jamaica. Make your way to Babylon shortly after you turn 15. By the time your immune system will be strong enough to resist the poisons of your vaccine. Your guidance system will be the chakra of the heart. Your mission is simple. Shine light into the dark. If your religion is anything other than love, you will miss the mark. And if you get caught up in the divisiveness, you will be absorbed by the dark. Forgive and forgive quickly. That is your only path. And whatever you do to a single human being, that karma you will eventually have to marry. In other words, the love that you withhold is the pain that you will carry. You could easily get trapped in third density. So let the words, I am, guide you back to your true identity. And when you come to a fork in the road and you're confused how to make the call, ask yourself, is this decision serving my ego or is it serving the highest good of all? Be conscious of your intentions in everything that you do. And remember, you don't have to attend every argument that you're invited to. Love will be the greatest asset of them all. Attraction will be your strength, resistance your downfall. Your emotions are linked to a magnetic tower. So whatever you love, you empower. Whatever you empower, you will establish. Show the planet how to unclench their fists and establish bliss. However, you're there to teach, not to insist. Your heart chakra is divine guidance and should never be dismissed. And it's always easier to remove your tension than it is to resist. So as you can see, there's never a reason to be pissed. You're being sent to stand out, so don't try to fit in. And when you need to commune with God, that's when you quietly go within. And you will know that you've missed the mark once you start seeking him in a building. In this twisted system, you could easily make yourself a victim. Remember that your power ends where your fear begins. So let spirit be your guide. Let spirit give you the words to write. Keep your eyes focused solely on the good. You're there to understand, not necessarily to be understood. So don't try explaining yourself at any given Lent. Instead, go to nature whenever you feel emotionally spent. Avoid the noise, and silence will be your strength. Trust your feelings in everything that you do. You're being divinely guided, so to thine own self be true. Everyone is a teacher, they're neither friend nor foe. So never be offended, being offended is a weakness of the ego. Godspeed, light worker, second wave of the ground crew. May the light surround you, may the force be with you. And as I turned to leave the room, I noticed that you were there too. Yes, you who are listening to this poem, you who are reading these words, you were right there next to me, being instructed on the protocols of third density, being reminded of your mission and its intensity. So it doesn't make sense to me to see you living here in confusion, buying into the illusion, having your ego making the decisions, doubting your transmission, not trusting your intuition. You're a god filled with inhibitions. So my question is, light worker, have you forgotten your mission?
Woo! That's some good stuff, I'll tell you what.
Oh man, that always gets me teary-eyed. Welcome to Conscious TV. With Tom and Ramon. We're doing a special show today, obviously, because of what happened Friday. Friday for us, and that would be Thursday night for... over in the States. Man, where to begin? Well, first and foremost, me and my wife and her family are doing well. The amazing thing is that nothing in the house was broken. I mean, not one shattered glass, nothing. Some stuff did fall to the floor, but for some amazing reason, it didn't break. Most of my friends, they had at least a glass broken, but most important, my condolences and my heart goes out to Khan and his family. His entire town was swept away. He's fine because he was in Tokyo. So. Go to Conscious TV, conscious-tv.com, and we have a donate button to donate for the relief efforts over in Japan. And I will myself make sure that that gets in the right hands.
All right, we got it set up right at the top of the page. So I want to touch on what we opened the show with here tonight, Kurt Nugent. We were supposed to play that show tonight, but in light of current events, we decided that this show was much more appropriate. Tonight with us, we've got John Riley, and this guy's done quite a bit of some remarkable research. He's done some pretty amazing stuff with tying technology into spirituality that I'm just totally fascinated with. Well, I'll let you tell you a little bit. Let him tell you a little bit about his past and what got him here. John, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing very well, thank you, Tom.
So, with all this stuff that's going on right now, I did notice that just before this event in Japan, there was some significant activity on the sun.
Yes. Yeah, it was actually pretty interesting tying the or connecting the dots, as we would start to say, in regards to the correlations to the events, even from the prophecies, you know, when we talk about the Mayan calendar to the ninth wave.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. Well, the ninth wave started, by some accounts, it was March 9th.
Yes.
And 2 days later. Another thing that I really popped into my head the other day, and I actually started writing a poem about it, Japan's the land of the rising sun. The ninth wave comes in, and this major event happens right there in Japan. I just kind of saw a little bit of a metaphor there, at least for myself. The beginning of this new wave, the sun is rising, and it's starting in Japan.
Indeed. Yeah, well, we understand the new wave consciousness, and that's the when the Mayan, the ninth wave, is talking about the next shift in our human consciousness. When we start to realize that, we can start understanding what that terminology means. So when we start seeing this and these incredible events that start to connect, and we start seeing the sun coming out of its sleep cycle, and all of a sudden, literally going where. Literally 24 hours before that, within a 48-hour period, we had 12 coronal mass ejections, including an X-ray burst that actually was Earth-facing. And within hours after that X-ray flux that happened, that's when the event started to happen on the planet. Well, we saw the event happen in Japan, but if we were looking a little bit further, then we noticed that the magnetometer charts across the globe were just going off everywhere. So we were seeing a global movement on many levels, and when we could see the X-ray flux, we could see the electrons, we could see the protons, all from the sensors that are stationed on the planet and also on the satellites that are out in space staring at the sun and in near orbit, Earth orbit here. So this is pretty interesting when we start seeing these events and how and what is triggering them.
Right. So, yeah.
Can you give out your YouTube video channel so people can check it out? Because you actually show that very well in your YouTube channel.
Yes, it's actually the YouTube channel is called Conscious Streams, all one word, Conscious Streams. And it was really interesting where I just felt guided to actually start connecting the dots, because so many people were trying to understand what was happening with their physical selves. And I was noticing with all the solar activity, being an observer with many people that I know walking around, observing everything from traffic to the increase of traffic accidents to the volatility, from the news, just from the people around me, I started noticing people were on hair triggers. They weren't very present. There was about a 30 to 40% increase in traffic accidents, so it was getting very interesting as the observer to see what happens when these energy fields start to shift on this planet, how humans respond to this energy as well.
Right. Both Ramon and I have been, we've noticed that we're both kind of sensitive to the solar activity whenever a big flare goes off or something. Ramon more so than I am. He'll go, wow, was there a flare today or something? Because I just felt something really weird.
Yeah, exactly. This is one of the things that's where I was guided to actually start to state this. I was doing a lot of Facebook activity mentioning that if people are, and actually noticing the events, me feeling them, and then also all of a sudden realizing that it's all about the sun. There's an event happening on the sun. So my first post on my YouTube page, when I posted that, there was a couple people in the science community that were completely just knocking it. They say, where's your science? This event didn't happen. You don't know, your science is backwards. And I had to look at it when they started to, to do that with me. But I didn't realize that I was literally 4 hours ahead when the event actually took place, because I was sensing the events on the sun and I knew something big was about ready to happen. And so my video, if you look at it, when I finished it and got it updated, as soon as I posted it, that's when the event went off. So this was really – I had to take a back step and start understanding what was happening within my own conscious awareness and understanding the solar connection. And the wonderful thing about that is that we actually have science to corroborate this connection that happens instantaneous, even though the sun is approximately 93 million miles away from our planet. But science had to declare that there is a wormhole or an undetermined energy bridge that is connected to us and the sun. So when the sun has a reaction, the Earth immediately responds to it.
Yeah, I mean, wasn't that already proven with our brains where 6 seconds before, like, the pitcher in baseball, when the pitcher throws the ball, 6 seconds before he throws it, the batter already responds to it?
Well, when we understand
the brain starts to respond, right?
Exactly. Yeah. There's a higher level of communication that's already being on a higher level. You know, so when we understand that, actually there was research on one of the Apollo missions that was called the Quantum Hologram, if I remember. There was a science research study with one of the astronauts, and they literally, when they were on the moon, the one scientist and the astronaut worked together for several months to establish this level of higher communication. And then when he was on the moon, they started doing these experiments with one man on the Earth, one man on the moon, and they were able to communicate. And actually, I think 7 out of 10 times, the information was perfectly transmitted with no technology whatsoever, except for human consciousness and our abilities.
Yeah. So this, yeah. Yes. No, I remember always hearing Brooks saying that the speed of thought, and that's something like the what's the famous science experiment with the electrons, where
the double slit experiment, or
no, not that one. The one where they turn the electron one way, 11 miles away, the other one instantaneously turned the opposite direction.
Yes, yeah, he actually he talks about his the modem? I think he was talking about. I think it was
the beryllium.
The beryllium, right. and it worked in almost like a subspace communication. So no matter where the unit was, as long as this piece of the beryllium. When whatever we did here on Earth, the other one would move identically, you know, yep. in exact. And so it was really interesting when he told that story, and the guy says, I've never heard of this drive before. And Brooks says, oh, that's because it hasn't been invented yet.
Right.
You know, so so yeah. That's a great story when we understand that it's in the consciousness, and almost when we kind of look at that, just how technologies come forth, they come from an idea. You know, within our minds, and then when we start to really realize that, it starts to come in from our higher states of consciousness, and then we do the due diligence to bring it into three dimensions, to bring it into an actual reality.
So I created a Tom's first famous quote. It goes, wherever the imagination goes, the technology follows.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, we're at this point in time where the conscious shift is happening in such an amazing way, where we looked at many years on this planet of the agendas of technologies, where a lot of it was about military and defense. And we started seeing this transformation started to happen in the 80s, where the military, because we were actually being the force that we are here in the United States, because I come from working at Lockheed Aircraft, I work in the Skunk Work projects, but then we saw some of the companies starting to get eliminated because there was too much competition. The requisites for the advanced aircrafts were no longer needed, and so what really happened is that we saw Hughes do it first, where they actually got into a think tank, and they took a global realization and said, well, why don't we take this sophisticated technology and start looking at the consumer aspect? So this is where it gets really interesting. That's where satellite receivers come from.
Yeah.
So let's jump back for just a second. For those who may not know who you are, John, would you give us a little bio, a little background, where you're from and what kind of what's your background?
Well, excuse me. Born and raised here in Los Angeles, California, right out of my schooling, actually, I went into a special program at Lockheed Aircraft where it was very interesting. It was an orientation program. I didn't know that much about it. All I was told was I had to be there at 7 o'clock every day for 5 days, 40-hour orientation, no pay, and no guarantee of a job. So when I every day, I think there was about 45 people that started this orientation, and people were dropping like flies, like every day. Within the fourth day, every day we would take tests, and on the fourth day I took a test, and when they did their review, they came up to me and they asked me to leave. And I was kind of shocked because I thought I was doing very well. They said, oh, you're going into processing. And then the man took me outside, and he says, you know, you were actually the top of the class. when you go down the hall, go left instead of right. And so when I went down this this ominous hallway, it wasn't really that ominous, it was fluorescent lighting, there was a skunk. There was a skunk on the wall to the left, and the other, and the one to the right was commercial processing, you know, just for working on the L-1011 project. And so the skunk works, actually, when you go down that corridor, you go into a briefing, you're given a confidential clearance to start, and they put you in a holding area until your clearance goes through. So 6 months later, because I was very young, I had a top secret clearance, and then I was transferred into a different division where I entered a cipher code on a lock on the door, and I was given a briefing saying what you've been doing for the last 6 months is what you do for a living, and that's all you could ever talk about. So that was very easy for me to accept. So having that background, actually I spent 3.5 years in Lockheed working with advanced technologies, actually technologies older than me. You know that goes back in the 50s, which was, and then looking at our solid state technology, so started seeing what our silicone technology can do compared to the old electromotive technologies of the past with vacuum tubes, and always remembering, you know, this information that I learned. And then from there, I actually submersed myself into motion picture special effects for 23 years, where I worked on most of the A films that you've seen for the last couple decades, working with Spielberg, Cameron, Robert Zemeckis, constantly working with them to bring in, you know, future technologies. And I was known when I started my very small business as a person who can do what everyone else said was impossible. So having that gift of actually, when someone would create an illustration, I would say, yeah, we can build that. And, you know, Back to the Future 2, they were like, well, our effects guys say this isn't buildable. We don't have the technology. And I go, yeah, we do. And I just kind of smile because I worked with developmental chips, you know, from Lockheed, and I knew exactly where to get prototypes, you know, that would do certain things. And so we were always able to be on the fringe of technology. So that was our reputation. And the name of my company was called Neotech, which meant new technology. And we always was known for being can-do, the ability to, you know, to do anything or the impossible. And then from there, I took a kind of a segue out of the industry, or a sabbatical, as you would call it, and realized that I was going kind of a little nuts. And I took my everything that I learned from Lockheed to special effects and combined it into my research for alternative energy and science. And that's where I created the company called Zero Point Research, which is the website's the same as the name if people are interested, zeropointresearch.com. And I've actually started working with Nikola Tesla's radiant energy research back in 1899. When actually a lot of people, if they understand his background, he was the inventor of alternating current, and that is our standard electrical grid system that feeds electricity around the planet. That is actually was created by Nikola Tesla, and actually with him and Westinghouse when they created the hydrodynamic power plant in Niagara Falls was actually the first implementation of the wires that started to go across the world.
Right, so can you build me one of those DeLorean time machines?
Yeah, you know what's really funny about that is that actually my son and I were just watching Back to the Future again, and you know Spielberg is a stickler for science, and their research departments, just like James Cameron and a lot of the big visionaries that are planting the seeds in this in consciousness, they do their due diligence. They make sure that the math is correct, as close as they possibly can, so that the principles behind the DeLorean made total sense, you know, and the voltage about the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity, you know, and then, you know, we've seen other movies that kind of like, you know, hinder around this. But then we kind of look at it from a conscious aspect. And I was one of those guys, even at Lockheed, I worked with 7 engineers, and I was constantly asking questions. Like a kid, because I was a kid compared to them. I was like, well, why is it done this way? Why didn't we do it this way? And they go, well, you know, that's an infrastructure. You know, we have to follow the infrastructures. I go, well, that doesn't make any sense. It's less efficient. You know, if we go this way, we have more efficiency and it's better for people. But, and I would go down the list and they go, yeah, well, that's not the way the world is. And I would have to, I would have to take a step back and kind of look at them when they would tell me this stuff. But something told me not to believe them, you know, and to continue asking these questions. And actually, I have one engineer that he says, no, never stop asking questions. Do exactly what you're doing. You know, and, you know, he always gave me a sideways look, you know, and realized that I was being very inquisitive for a reason. I didn't decide to stay in the box and become a lifer there, because I walk down the corridors, see people doing the same thing for 25 years. And inside of me, it said, it was very clear. I said, that is not me. You know, I have to, I got something more to do on this planet.
Yeah. Let me go ahead and give out the number. If you want to listen on your cell phone, you need to step out for a second. You can listen on your cell phone, and it's 712-432-0075. Access code is 652957. One more time. Telephone number is 712-432-0075. Access number 652957 pound. And you can listen to us. You won't be able to call in, but you'll be able to listen to the rest of the show. Sorry, John. Back to you.
Okay. So, oh, geez, where was I?
In Washington, I hope.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to ask. I recently felt something like about 5 to 10 minutes ago. Was wondering if there was a solar flare, John.
Yes, there is. We've actually had a quite large one actually happen today. It actually, if I recall, it actually probably happened around 9:30. The event started around 9:30 Pacific time, and it's actually pretty much finished up as we speak. The dispersion field is probably about three times the distance from the sun as we speak. It's not an Earth-facing event. It was actually on the I would actually say the right side limb, Earth-facing from the SDO satellite that actually, or actually the stereo, I think it's the stereo, yeah, the stereo B satellite that recorded that. The stereo A and B both got the events, and you can actually go to a couple of the websites that we talked to earlier. Our friend Rick at solarimg.org is a great current data stream for that. He's posted an amazing site for us that has reference systems of all over the planet from all the satellites, and that's solarimg.org. So it's nearly real time in regards to the status updates.
Yeah. Coming back to Japan, what have you heard or seen anything on, because some people believe that this actually is either all HARPs doing or a combination of HARP technology piggybacking on the solar flares and the ninth wave. Well, what is your take on this?
Well, you mentioned a very good word there, piggybacking. Now, when we understand, and I was actually talking to a master numerologist, my friend Julian Michael, and we were actually going to actually talk and actually do a video about the coming times. Now, he has the ability with numerology is to actually measure and to know when powerful events and are going to happen on this planet and within our own personal selves just by our own numerology chart. And his accuracy is amazing. So when I work closely with someone, they have to go through quite a scrutinization of my approval, if you know what I mean, you know, to say this man's the real deal, you know, and that I can go further in our exploration, you know, upon our bringing our work together. So when we started to have these discussions, you know, we started looking at this, and one of the things that I realized is that there are events that happen on this planet. There are events that happen in our solar system. The Mayans understood this lost astrological understanding of the accuracy of the events that we are in. And so when we start to start realizing that, you know, all the events that have been foretold, and we can start looking at it from a science standpoint, we can realize where the position of our solar system is in relation to the universe, to the galactic core, and we can also look at where our planet is in the same alignment. And space can be measured perfectly by the nth, you know, a fraction of a measurement. And so when we realize that, and that's the reason why we can put a man on the moon, we can put, you know, perfect, satellites into orbit, all from mathematics. You know, so the precisionness of how it works is something that can be truly, and if we have to keep ourselves open and realize this from a technological aspect, can be manipulated. And if people know that certain events are going to happen and they have technologies, they can utilize or ride the waves to amplify the intention of that technology. Now, yeah, I don't have any evidence, you know, to say that. There are other people stating it, but I was asked this even this morning about certain people out there that are literally talking about pointing the finger at HARP. And they said the information from the HARP stations were removed the next day, you know, so the readings that were there, and then all of a sudden they were gone. And that's true. You know, almost all the real-time data analysis, even from the solar activity, none of this made it to the media. None of it was being announced. There was actually one website called spaceweather.com, and I would check that constantly to see if they're keeping up with the latest solar events. And actually, at 1 or 2 in the morning, I'd go to their website, and they would have a report of the X-class flares. And then I'd go there at 9 o'clock in the morning, and it's gone. You can't find it. And I even did screen captures. Instinctively, I captured the data from their website. I did a capture of it. And then I go back, and it's not in there at all. They literally removed it.
Right. That really throws up a big red flag of something suspicious.
Plus, well, the suspiciousness.
The numerology of the day, 311.
Yes, exactly. And that's what my friend Julie and I were talking about, and that master number and what that means in regards to power energy alignments. This is where it gets really interesting. You know, but now when we look at it, is that here I was 2 or 3 days ahead talking about this event or this energy event that's going to happen on the planet. And I like to talk about it from the higher consciousness aspect. And I literally stated that we are going to go into a rites of passage. And literally all is going to, you know, it was going to start to take place on this planet. Now, when we see events like this happen, when it started from an earthquake, then the secondary effect being a tsunami, and then the third effect is being man-made. You know, that's what we have to look at this. We have to look at now we have a crisis with the nuclear power plants, you know, that are happening on this small island. So it's all been isolated, you know, from this one little place on the planet. And all the entire globe is at complete attention, and it's a wake-up call. It's right. A complete wake-up call. And one of the things that we missed in regards to our human understanding and our advancement in our technology is that they experienced a 9.0 magnitude earthquake. They upgraded it to a 9.0. And if I recall, 99% of the buildings stood up.
Yeah. Surprisingly enough, even the old houses, like my mother-in-law house, all she received was a little damage. One of the columns that's in the front porch was disconnected from the bottom. But for what it was, you can walk around here. You'll see a couple cracks. The places where they where my wife works in Tokyo Bay, that's all landfill. So that actually received the most damage as far as Tokyo. A lot of the water and mud came up, and it was just dusty, and the roads were completely messed up there. But for a 9.0, I would never think that things would look the way they look now. Like, I would think things would be completely leveled. So I'm 100% surprised.
Well, the surprise, but also the advancement, you know, when we understand the safety protocols, you know, and the construction codes that have been implemented for a long time. We went, when I lived through you know, earthquakes through my entire life here in Los Angeles. And I my home was in Sylmar back when the Northridge earthquake event happened. I was 4 miles from the Epic Center. The experience was like the end of the world there. It was so loud and deafening. The building next to me, I got to watch it start to crumble. You know, where our buildings, you know, we had some cosmetic, you know, and then I walked down into my living room and I could see into my garage and the mantle was off and, you know, and the kitchen, you know, threw up everything that was in every cabinet, you know. But then you start walking down the street and one place is completely devastated, two buildings down, not even a scratch in the exterior of the stucco, you know. So when we understand how different levels of the earth, actually, of course, granite, you know, where we understand will transmit waves of energy in a completely different way than an earth field or a landfill, like you said, because there hasn't been thousands of years of it to be settled. So that was man-made over a short period of time. So when the earth moves below it, almost a liquefaction effect starts to take place, where anything above it would actually just start getting just beat to heck. You know, so when we actually start seeing how California is, you know, the waves, how it rolls, we can actually watch it. And there's many videos in Japan where you can actually see the movement where the energy is just going back and forth. And that's what...
Yeah, what it felt like from my point of view, I was teaching, because I teach English here in Japan, and I was teaching an English class in a cafe. And all of a sudden, it starts moving, swaying from side to side, but very slowly. And it starts to gain momentum. And the thing is, we're waiting there like, okay, 20 seconds pass and this is still going on. 30 seconds, 1 minute. I'm like, oh, shit. And it just, and then right at the end, I had my hand down, pointing down, and I could feel the energy getting stronger. And I told my student, like, okay, it's going to get real strong now. And it just started shaking back and forth then at that moment. And that's when everybody in that cafe just threw everything on the floor and just ran out. And he was going to get up to the run, and I said, relax, it's done. And then 10 seconds later, it was over. But I don't know. I'm not too experienced with earthquakes, but it definitely – it didn't feel as strong as it was. And not saying that it wasn't, it just didn't, what I would picture a 9.0 feel like, it just didn't feel like that to me. So I can't really tell the difference between that one, and I experienced another one that was a 7.0, so to me they kind of feel the same.
You know, excuse me, go ahead.
Well, I almost feel that there's a certain amount of our own personal consciousness that would... I don't know what to call it, the shielding effect, where certain places and people will have that, you know, if their consciousness is in the right place or they're doing the right things. I think it has a tendency to, the situation where this house here got totally destroyed, the one right next door is in, you know, completely fine. Yeah, I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there.
No, that's perfect that you stated that, because that's the reason why I brought up when I walked down the street here in Sylmar at the Northridge earthquake, is that how energy travels in waves. And depending on what part of the high cycle to the low cycle you are, it's going to dictate the ride that you go through. You know, so Ramon's experience where he said it didn't seem that big, but then the person two doors over, it could feel like the end of the world to them, because they're getting the high point of the energy rate wave. You know, they're getting more movement from their structures, or the earth is rising, and when you're on the low, if you imagine a sine wave, if you're on the low end of the sine wave, the amplification factor at the high point is going to be the higher level of energy.
So. Here's what I don't understand. Prior to the big one Friday, I believe it was Wednesday. So Friday the 11th was the big one, and then Wednesday or Tuesday there was a earthquake. No, that was Wednesday. There was an earthquake here as well, and The funny thing is, my wife calls me up and she's like, "Oh, you're okay?" And I said, "What are you talking about?" She was like, "Oh, there was an earthquake." I was like, "I didn't feel anything." So I went to my dentist's office the next day, which is 10 blocks away from here, and I asked him, "Did you feel the earthquake?" And he goes, "Yeah, it was really strong. It was shaking everything." And I called my mother-in-law. I said, "Did you feel the earthquake?" Because she's the dentist is south of me, east of me, and my mother-in-law is northeast of me. So I asked her, and she said, "Yeah, you know, everything was rattling." And I'm like, "I didn't feel anything." And she was like, "Oh, you're lying." She didn't believe me. I said, "No, it didn't even shake." And actually, I was talking to Tom. It was the day we were recording the bonus show, Tom.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Oh, so the earthquake went on during that?
Yeah. I didn't feel anything. So, I don't know. I'm stuck with words, but I'm glad you guys are coming up with something really good.
Well, I think, you know, this is just a good example of the way consciousness helps to create our own realities. I mean, if your heart and mind is in the right place, there's so much evidence out there, or so many testimonies out there of people having angelic intervention, where they are protected in a car wreck or a house fire or an earthquake, you know, where they feel that there are divine beings or whatever you want to call them, that are actively taking a part in protecting them.
Yeah. Speaking of John, I saw a video of you a couple weeks ago where you did an event, and you actually help people open up their mind. Can you go into that a little bit?
Oh, when we talk about the shifts
with the phone
consciousness.
Yes.
Yeah, it's more about that shift in our own consciousness, that larger wakefulness, that bigger realization. And to walk around with open eyes instead of being closed off. Because it's very easy for us to fall into the illusional construct. And when we understand the matrix, it's perfectly played to keep us suppressed and to keep us into the me, 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 you know, situation. So all of a sudden, when we shift out of that, and literally, and you want to do this gently. You don't want to jack yourself out like Neo, because that's a rough ride. And even if you listen to Morpheus in that movie, he says, we have a rule. We don't pull people out after a certain age because they can't handle it. Because the longer you're in, the more that you believe it's real. And so when you get pulled out abruptly, you're going to pop. You know, you're gonna lose that connection to your consciousness, and you'll just be gone. There'll be a vegetable, or your body will follow. So this is very interesting. So we're at this point in the shift is to walk with bigger eyes, is to come into this process with higher realization. Realize that we have wonderful technology at our side, like the iPhone. I use that I call it the ascension tool all the time, because it can see more than we can at this point in time. And it shows us that there's more around us, you know, than we can see. You know, when we understand that we can actually use augmented reality, you know, in our technologies now, where we can actually create virtual worlds and actually almost utilize that to see in another dimension. This is where it gets very interesting with some of the applications that people are creating. You know, and there's like even a simple one that I like to show people, and it opens you up into a fairy world. You literally hold the phone up, and it's like a doorway. You're looking into another dimension, and you literally move it around. You can look up into the sky, you see the beautiful clouds, and then you look down, you see all the flowers and all the vegetation and the trees, and it doesn't matter. 360 degrees, you're looking through a portal, and it's just amazing that software is being written for little applications, you know, for our phones, you know, these PDAs, you know, and these PDAs are more than just a cell phone now and taking messages. They actually have accelerometers in them, and they also have gyros in them. They know where they are all the time in a three-dimensional reference on the planet as well as in space, if we want to actually calibrate them to that level of accuracy. There's always a position. It doesn't matter where you are. There's always, even a speck of dust has a position in the universe. You know, so when we start to realize this, that we're getting to that point of reference and we have technologies at our side that can open us up into the bigger picture than just utilizing the camera, because the camera actually can see more on spectrums that our human eye can't. And the nice thing about it is that it can decode it and bring it into a visible spectrum that we can see on the screen, but our human eye won't see it. And so I like to use that process by using infrared lights and shine them on people, and they say, I don't see anything. But then when they hold up their camera, the camera sees a blinding light. And so you use that process. You look back and forth about five times at the screen and at the light. You don't see anything when you look at the light, but when you see the screen, you see a blinding light. So it starts to deprogram the brain. It starts to deprogram consciousness of us coming to a realization that we are being limited. We have software that's been limiting us. Our eyes take in more than our brains will allow our perception to reveal in our consciousness. So when we get to that point of thinking, we can shift that and we can start to see a bigger part or a larger part of the bigger picture.
Yeah, according to What the Bleep, wasn't it something ridiculous? Like your eye sees something like, what was it, 4 billion bits of information?
Absolutely, yeah. It's a massive amount of data stream. You know, when we look at there was a comparison to all the computers, all the supercomputers on the world, almost equals one capability of the human brain, one brain. You know, so when we realize that what we're capable of, that we never forget. People might say that they can't remember, but it's always a can't remember, but that information's in there, and there are processes. If you do the due diligence and if you know how to access this information, you can retrieve any bit of information that happened at any time in your life. And I forgot the gift or the label that they give certain people. I know Mary Lou Henner is one of them, and there's a few other people that can remember every single event that happened every day in their life. You give them a date and a time, and they'll tell you exactly what happened in absolute accuracy.
Yeah.
So this is kind of interesting.
Yeah. I read, it was years ago, I think it was either a psychological book or something, where under hypnosis, they can have you come up with how many trees have you seen in your entire lifetime, and you actually know the number under hypnosis. You can say the number, how many trees you've seen in your entire lifetime.
Yeah, that's something I would not even question. You know, when you get to a certain point of your own personal exploration, then the big picture really starts to take the words, the big picture really starts to come into understanding, because we really get to the point that we really know nothing in regards to the vastness of what is, what truly is existence. And, you know, we learned a lot when we sent a telescope out into space and got out of our own atmosphere that was limiting our vision. All of a sudden, Hubble changed everything. It humbled us in so many ways because it gave us bigger eyes. You know, and so this is all of a sudden science just became so humbled in regards to what we thought was out there. You know, so this is the understanding. This is happening as above, so below. And we got to start understanding that everything is about ready to shift. What did the Mayans know about this ninth wave of human consciousness, and what is it in relations? Well, guess what? We get to experience it. And there are people that can tell you what they think it's going to be. And there are people that will say absolutely this is what's going to happen. But I, you know, even at the end of this interview, I would say, please do not believe me. Go out and experience it for yourself. You know, challenge everything that is being said and live it. Go and experience it, and that human experience is what is going to transform you.
Speaking of when you were talking about Neo, when he, like, in that scene where he throws up, what I've seen here, and for those of you who've listened to the show before, know how sometimes I have to catch myself. I'll complain about how sometimes I see some certain kinds of selfishness here, and the me, and the 9-to-5 mentality, where the company is your lifeline, it's your blood, and once you get fired, you know, you lose that. But what I've seen after is, like, I've definitely seen a lot of people pop where all of a sudden their reality has shifted 360 degrees, where they're no longer like, okay, I'm going to work till this time, or I'm not even going to show up to work, you know. And they're helping each other, and the attitude of the me, I don't really feel it like I did a week ago. People are definitely changing here. And one of the things I really hope is that with this constant changing, that people are going to start putting pressure on the governments to start using these cleaner energies. Even though they say nuclear is clean energy. But.
Yes. Well, when we understand the aspects of the nuclear aspect, is that when we understand it being clean, under perfect, you know, precautionary and safety measures, it is a clean way of generating massive amount of energy. Now, a lot of people, they have a hard time realizing what it takes to energize the grid, you know, to bring power to your home. From the individual aspect, it's not really that much. But then when you look at that, there's 1,000 homes in your neighborhood, and then there's 100,000 homes in your own city, and then there's, 10 million homes in one state. When we start to realize the infrastructure that has to be created to deliver that much energy, we've created just that, an infrastructure to feed the grid. You know, to bring, you know, wires effortlessly to people's homes. Now, this is where it gets interesting. This is a paradigm that we built ourselves into. And now we are going to be looking at that. Because, you know, if Japan, I think they have, 52 or 54 nuclear power plants, you know, on that very small island. So they've just created that. You know, as nuclear being the way for them. And they set up that infrastructure. Now we're seeing, under worst-case scenarios, we're having events that start to happen. You know, the safety structures in the nuclear power plants withstood a 9.0 magnitude earthquake with no problem. The secondary event, the tsunami right behind it, caused major problems. Now there's a three level of safety that is put in place in every single nuclear power plant. Even though the Fukushima plant is one of the older generation plants, it still has redundancies of safety, and the core containment was never a problem. You know, that from all the data that I've been researching, they never lost containment. They were having a lot of issues on the outside with the hydrogen venting that caused volatility and explosions. And the safety protocols are still in effect for when those happen, when those events happen. So core containment is the key issue, is that we cannot radiate our human life. So that those standards have been placed in effect, you know, on so many levels. So when we look at the nuclear aspect, now this is what is good. You know, I mean, from the observation standpoint, because all eyes are looking at Japan right now and what they're going to do in regards to the nuclear crisis. And believe me, every government right now is checking their nuclear safety protocols because they know we're going to go under scrutiny, you know, when it comes to even consider building another nuclear power plant. Mm-hmm. And almost everyone, human consciously, we're going to wake up and we're going to go, no, implement an alternative way, a green fuel way. I mean, this is perfect that it's happening with Obama, the administration, really sticking behind the old infrastructures. And we realize this is part of the new consciousness, and us as a people will not accept it. We're going to force technologies forth that are going to change things. So we, when we plant the seeds for our children, you know, they're going to germinate in such an amazing way that they will never have to deal with the catastrophe on that level and worry about the secondary effect, extinguishing living, you know, people on this planet and life. So this is where it gets really difficult. This is the consciousness shift that we're going through on many levels, and we're going to check ourselves on so many ways. You know, and then you have to look at the bigger picture. You know, when we look at the Japan being the island, and they chose to build 52 or 54 nuclear power plants on a tectonic plate. that is constantly moving. You know, so they created safety protocols because they felt that that was the best way to harness energy. So we have to look at the cause and effect. Is that something that is going to go into the next wave of consciousness? Are we going to continue down the nuclear path? I have a hard time believing that that is. I think it's going to be really hard from this moment on for any other nuclear power plant to be built in any other country.
Right. Yeah. They're really starting to complain here, but we're getting to the top of the hour, and
I want to read this letter that came from came from a newsletter, and it's actually a friend of a friend of a friend of a friend of a friend. So it's from somebody right there in Sendai, and this kind of exhibits some of the change in consciousness that this is one of the results of what's going on over there. Hello, my friends and family. First, I want to thank you very much for your concern for me. I am very touched. I also wish to apologize for a generic message to you all, but it seems the best way at the moment to get my message to you. Things here in Sendai have been rather surreal, but I am very blessed to have wonderful friends who are helping me a lot. Since my shack is even more worthy of that name, I am now staying at a friend's home. We share supplies like water, food, and kerosene heater. We sleep lined up in one room, eat by candlelight, share stories. It is warm, friendly, and beautiful. During that day, we help each other clean up the mess in our homes. People sit in their cars looking at the news on their navigation screens or line up to get drinking water when a source is open. If someone has water running in their home, they put up a sign so people can come to fill up their jugs and buckets. Utterly amazing where I am. There has been no looting, no pushing in lines. People leave their front doors open as if it's safer when an earthquake strikes. People keep saying, oh, this is how it used to be in the old days when everyone helped each other. Quakes keep coming. Last night they struck about every 15 minutes. Sirens are constant and helicopters pass overhead often. We got water. We got water for a few hours in our home last night, and now it's for half a day. Electricity came on this afternoon. Gas has not come on. But all of this is by area. Some people are having these things, others do not. No one has washed for several days. We feel grubby, but there are so much more important concerns than that for us now. I love this peeling away of non-essentials. Living fully on the level of instinct, of intuition, of caring, of what is needed for survival, not just of me, but of the entire group. There are strange parallel universes happening. Houses a mess in some places, yet then a house with futons or laundry out drying in the sun. People lining up for food and water, and yet people out walking their dogs, all happening at the same time. Other unexpected touches of beauty are first. The silence at night, no cars, no one out on the streets, and the heavens or night are scattered with stars. I usually can only see about two, but now the whole sky is filled. The mountains of our Sendai are solid, and with the crisp air, we can see them silhouetted against the night sky magnificently. And the Japanese themselves are so wonderful. I come back to my shack to check on it each day. Now to send this email since my electricity is on, and I find food and water left in my entryway. I have no idea from whom, but there it is. Old men in green hats go from door to door checking to see if everyone is okay. People talk to complete strangers asking if they need help. I see no signs of fear. Resignation, yes, but fear or panic, no. They tell us we can expect aftershocks and even other major quakes for another month or more, and we are getting constant tremors, rolls, shaking, rumbling. I am blessed in that I live in a part of Sendai that is a bit elevated, a bit more solid than other parts. So far, this area is better off than others. Last night, my friend's husband came in from the country bringing food and water. Blessed again. Somehow at this time, I realized from direct experience that there is indeed an enormous cosmic evolutionary step that is occurring all over the world right at this moment. And somehow I experienced the events happening now in Japan. I can feel my heart opening very wide. My brother asked me if I felt so small because of all that is happening. I don't. Rather, I feel as part of something happening that is much larger than myself. This wave of birthing worldwide is hard and yet magnificent. Thank you again for your care and love. Now, that letter, when I read it, just absolutely touched me and showed me that there are really some amazing things happening out of this. So,
yeah,
that's beautiful.
Yeah. So we're going to play another. We're going to play another clip from Kurt Nugent and.
What's that?
I think it's a 5 minute, and then we'll be back for another hour.
What if I told you you're about to wake up from a bad dream? What if I told you that as much as you've been programmed not to like me, we've always been playing on the same team? And what if I told you that you're not human, but rather a light being, and your pineal gland is what you use for seeing? Would you know what I mean? What if I told you we're co-creating a new reality and we're putting an end to duality and our entire galaxy is in on a conspiracy? Would you believe me? I mean, come on, deep down, son, would you feel me? What if I told you that the new currency will be one of service and in the blink of an eye your dollars will be worthless and out of the chaos will be born your commitment to purpose? And what if I told you that you'll find peace by staying in the heart and remaining humble, and this matrix is about to crumble, I mean straight tumble, like George Foreman when he rumbled in the jungle against Muhammad Ali, who floats like a butterfly, stings like a bee, and even though you're not aware that you're enslaved, you're about to be free. And what if I told you that if you look beyond the chaos, you'll see destiny, and no matter how far you travel, you'll always be next to me. But I don't have to tell you, because you already know this. You already know that this is a time of bliss. We've been planning for many millenniums, so here's to you, son. Welcome to the law of one, duality no more. Yes, we're the ones we've been waiting for. We understand the process, so therefore we'll never protest the many changes across the face of the earth. The same changes you'll find in a woman when she's about to give birth. So there's no need to curse this. Go with the flow, don't be nervous. Mother Earth is pregnant with purpose, so you best be in service. And remember, you deserve this. For the sun is showing his affection with ridiculous coronary mass ejections. Everybody feels the warmth, no exceptions. So the satellites are beginning to fail, and Yellowstone Park is registering 4.6 on the Richter scale, while JP Morgan Chase is foreclosing on his loans, and Australia is feeling the floods and cyclones, and a UFO is casing Jerusalem Dome like, honey, I'm home. On Wall Street, they trade souls for dough, while South Korea is buried in 6 feet of snow, and the magnetic poles are shifting, and the veil is lifting, while the real housewives are bawling, and the birds are falling, but all Egypt here is freedom calling, Yemen is stalling, and Syria is vexed, and Bahrain is like, yo, we got next. And they're answering the call, formal and informal, as the Weather Channel try to convince me that all this snow is normal. And in D.C., the senators are about to enter, but they're either too far left or too far right as we approach a galactic center. Besides, they're packing too much ego for this spiritual adventure. They're still counting Gregorian time, but we've been using the Mayan calendar. So blinded by their technology, they fail to see the obvious return of the divine feminine energy. So they find it surprising when I say that Atlantis is rising, because desperately trying to hold on to power are dictators with iron fists. But this new consciousness just ain't having it, and it matters not which so-called kings and queens are pissed. This new energy cannot be dismissed. It is futile to resist that which was created to persist, that which was foretold in the eclipse. A wave of light that does more than merely instruct the darkness to step aside. In fact, the darkness gets transmuted by the light. It's like a divine loving energy that says, don't worry kid, I got you. And immediately start opening your heart chakra, make you call your ex and say, look, I ain't even mad at you, I enjoy the experience before we both walk out the door. Call your boss and say, yeah, this paycheck is nice, but I can't do this nonsense no more. And your neighbors are saying, quit your job in this economy, what are you, crazy? And you're saying, nah, that's just the way the heart chakra gets down, baby. In other words, if you want your life back, yeah, there's an app for that. Because with this new energy, you now have a knowing that you're divinely loved and cared for. And with such a knowing, you can no longer be chained by paper. Let your spirit be free, free to be what you came to be, infinite possibilities. And as you step out of your little box that society gave to you, the term Jew can no longer define you. Black, white, Muslim, Christian, Democrat, Republican, socialist, black, fist, and independently pissed. All meaningless. You're beyond definition because you're limitless. Operating with an open heart chakra, so you're selfless. Now the words that you confess immediately manifest. It is impossible for someone to be in your presence and be depressed. You smile at a child and she's eternally blessed, because telepathically your thoughts get expressed and permanently sewn into the fabric of all that is. You see your creator, you smile and give a nod, because for the first time in your life you realize that indeed you are God.
Wow, he's off the hook. That one is called Remember Who You Are, Part 5. Is that correct, Tom?
I need you to remember, Part 5.
That's it. I need you to remember. So we'll be opening the phone lines. We have our special guest, John D. Riley. We're doing a two-hour show. This is Conscious TV. We air every week on Wednesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and
10 a.m. Japanese
time. 9 a.m. now.
Oh, yeah, 9 a.m. time change.
You guys have the bad habit of changing time. let's go ahead and let's John, you want to finish your thought, or you want to go ahead and bring Rick in?
Oh, we can bring Rick in. I think it'll be good. Good timing. Yeah.
Hey, yo, what's up?
Hey, Rick. So where are you from, Rick?
Hey, I'm from Canada. Big ups. Yeah, thanks, John, for all the love and your positive message and all the shout-outs and big ups. You know, you've really been instrumental in the Solar IMG project, and I'm really grateful for that.
We really appreciate what you're doing. Keep it up.
Yeah, man, you know, when you were talking, man, it literally drove me to tears. It was just kind of like, it was good tears and bad tears, and the human cost of everything that's happened, because the management doesn't understand that they're hurting some of us. And, you know, it wasn't always a saunter down to the left. Some people were dragged, hooded, drugged, and beaten, and whatever. But that's besides the point. I really appreciate your positive messages. It's kept me going, but we're seeing things right now that are rather frightening. And while I was doing an interview in the UK this afternoon on the radio, there was I was talking about earthquakes, and then right in my neck of the woods, there was a 4.7. So that's frightening. And recently, Yellowstone, you know, Montana, there was a 3, and there were simultaneous quakes in Japan and Puerto Rico. So we can see the problems, you know, people are talking about HAARP a lot, and HAARP is a missile defense system, people. Come on. Like, I mean, they basically, what they do is they lens the ionosphere in a similar fashion to the way that you fry an ant with a magnifying glass. And if you remember the movie Independence Day, that was a great visualization think about. They had to bounce the signals off of the satellites because you can't get a direct line of sight through the entire Earth. So what HAARP does is they use radio frequencies and energy, and they lens the ionosphere so they can bounce their communications or their radar signals or their lasers or whatever. Can I swear on this show?
You don't, but sometimes
it happens.
Yeah, my kids are going to be listening, so keep it clean.
There's certain expletives that just perfectly describe the situation.
Yeah, we get them right away.
But you know, I try to approach every day with no fear, because there's really nothing to fear as long as we live with honor, dignity, and courage and respect, and we do the right thing. Then that's what matters. And we enjoy our families and our loved ones, and we should live every day like it's our last, because if anything recently, you know, that's shown us that. And we got to continue keeping hope and faith. And if it weren't for hope and faith, I wouldn't keep going with what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So
yes. I mean, for me on my side, we've been last night we didn't have any, but the last few nights we get woken up by an alarm that's disturbing.
Well, with the solar influence and the supermoon and the G cloud thing and the LNN, we should be everybody should be at a state of heightened alert. California needs to be very vigilant. Watch the animals. Joe, the bar caroler on YouTube has pointed out the San Andreas, and I've been expecting them, and they haven't been happening. I mean, we've been seeing little piddly quakes here and there, but nothing compared to what's going on globally. But you know, we're seeing activity at the poles. We're seeing, and with the anomalies that we're detecting, well, I'm not detecting. It's the people in the field who I got to give the real shout outs to, and the props to the people who are managing these instruments, and we can't forget what they're doing. But you know, we see the electron anomalies in the ionosphere preceding the Christchurch quake, preceding the Japanese quake, and you know, we don't know if it's piezo-seismic radiation that's caused by the stress that causes the quakes to be appearing in them, but or influx of solar energy, but the fact is it's there. and we don't have time to peer review it. So we have to look at this stuff and try and just go. It's like triage.
Right.
And so we have to focus on that, yellow tagging, red tagging, you know, not tagging. And this disinformation stuff, because people are afraid of what they don't understand. And a lot of this science is very intimidating, and it's made like that. That's how the system's set up. And, you know, if you look at the science world, it's no different than the real world. You know, if you look at how there's different factions, different religions, different interests, and different corporations, there's everybody with their own agenda and their own resources, and they're all competing, and it's ridiculous. And so if we just disengage from that and continue working towards positive solutions, that's the best we can do, and that's what I really have to encourage.
No, that's beautiful that you're mentioning that, Rick. But one of the things that, you know, when I do my research and look at it from the science standpoint like you are, but then all of a sudden we see the same information being handed over to the media, and how the media will immediately start to add, let's say, colorful attachments to it and increase the font and make it red and then post it in such large, you know, states to literally instill fear? Or is it
fear is the new black. It's so in this season.
Well, let's understand that. Let's take this for a ride for a second. But what we understand is that they'll take the science and then they'll twist it because there are infrastructures, there are protocols that the editor and the web people have to do. They have to draw people into their website, or they
That's
have
why
to.
They're the old media.
They,
That's
well, they
why
have to get people to buy
the media, and we're the new media.
Right.
No,
well, remember,
their fear, uncertainty, and doubt campaigns, they're not going to be successful anymore. People see through this. People realize that it's not about fake terror.
Right. This is the importance, is for us to see that, is that they're still in the old structures. They're trying to sell more newspapers than the other guy. So if their headlines are bigger, people are going to be drawn to that from the fear base. Now, what is happening on this planet right now? When we talk about – now, when I was in Egypt, I did research in Egypt, and I went there twice last year. And I go there with technologies, and I'm allowed to do this work. And when I went to the temples – and understanding that the ancients understood how to utilize grid lines, synchronic lines under the earth to focus energy into particular chambers in the temples. You know, and this is really amazing.
The ley lines.
Exactly. The ley lines are the synchronic lines, different levels of energy focus. And they understood it on very high levels. Now, what was happening is when I was there in June, I did certain measurements and I got certain readings. But then I returned in November and literally the energies in the temples nearly doubled. And when I noticed that, I started to realize that if this is in line to the human frequency on this planet, then the base frequency on the planet is going to shift. And if it happens here in Egypt first, there is going to be an awakening where people will no longer be able to resonate in fear anymore. And this is where we got to see this amazing liberation where people stood there and they just said, no more, we will have none of this. And fear was not the factor.
And the Egyptians and the Mayans, they were talented astronomers, so they had understanding of these cycles, and they put it in the archaeology. It's on the earth. They time printed the earth with their architecture, so I can exactly understand how the ley line and the way for the average listener, just listen out there in listener land who's never heard of any of this stuff. The best analogy that I've ever heard to describe it is that the earth is like a soccer ball, and the ley lines are the stitching. So if one of or two of those or a portion of those stitches become compromised or they can't bear a load, which can happen with the magnetic effects and the energy transfers that John's talking about, if they lose their structure, the whole ball will lose cohesiveness. And that's possibly how the earthquakes happen. There's a correlation there. We don't understand it. We're still just figuring this out, unless you work at Skunk Works. But...
Right.
Well, we're connecting dots, and that's one of the wonderful things about your path, Rick, and my path. They're completely diverse. They're completely opposite, but guess what? We're getting to the same conclusions.
Yeah.
We're all connected.
Rick, thanks for calling. Can you give your website?
Yeah, absolutely. It's solarimg.org. It's solarimg.org. And on the front page, we just try and post the most important stuff that we come across. And if you click on the artist tab or go to solarimg.org /ARTIS. It's the Almost Real-Time Image System, and that's everything from solar stuff to the magnetometers. There's Solin.info, Jan's info is really good. Camilla SDO, just Google search and check out Camilla and NASA's on Earth Day. And Bears on Patrol is doing a really wonderful program right now. It's called the Raise Awareness Space Balloon. We're sending a balloon up to space with Fuzz Aldrin, who's a teddy bear who hangs out in cop cars and then helps little kids who are in crisis situations. And we're sending a balloon up into space to raise awareness for space weather research and to engage the kids. They love it. They love the mascots, and they really love the social media interaction with NASA and other organizations, and that's a huge resource that I really want to push, because science, technology, engineering, and math education is vitally important to understanding our universe. And we really want to push kids to take this up as areas of study, because science is kind of a sausage fest. We want to get girls in that thing, and like, because women are really coming up, you know, and women are making huge strides, and so we're pushing that.
Thanks, Rick.
Thank you, Rick.
We'll stick a link to solarimage.org on the page for this show too.
So. Yeah, and when you get the video, please send it to us. We have Z from New York.
Hello.
B is an old friend of mine that grew up with my brother. What's up, B?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you perfectly.
Okay, I just want to say hello to Tom. I want to say to you, hello to you, Ramon, and I want to say hello to John. I want to thank you guys for everything, especially you, Ramon, for opening up my eyes and
Actually, it was you who opened my eyes. I don't know if you remember. B's also a tattoo artist, and he's given me almost all of my tattoos. But back about 15 years ago, he gave me my first one, and he lent me a book on the Hopis. I don't know if you remember that, B.
Oh my God, no, I totally forgot.
Yeah, so actually, it was you who started opening my eyes, and B was the person who started telling me about the dark forces. I don't know if you remember that. This was at your house like 15, 16 years ago.
Nice.
Well, I'm trying to forget how old I am, but yeah.
So do you have a question for John?
Actually, I want to make more of a statement than an actual question. I want to actually touch on what Ramon was saying about people waking up, and basically on what Tom was saying in his letter that he said online about that person in Japan. People that would never normally talk about the things that you guys are talking about, they're starting to ask questions. You know, they might not be as open in terms of, like, speaking openly about it to people, but they are definitely asking questions, because I get all types of stuff from people asking me, hey, can we talk some more about this? So people are finally starting to wake up. You know, I mean, they're talking in their groups. And you talk about people that, you know, I work on a street level in terms of what I do with my martial arts, because I'm a martial artist also. And people are really curious. And I think it's a good thing that the fact that at the lower levels, you would say, you know, people trying to get over that consciousness of Neo waking up out of his pod, you know what I mean, and hoping not to pop, you know, it's starting to happen, I think, worldwide.
Yeah, we're seeing it everywhere.
That's sort of the statement I wanted to make, that people are waking up, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, that's
John,
perfect.
You gotta come.
Yeah, well, we understand when a person starts to step out of the structure of listening to what you're being told, and I'm glad I kind of set that up earlier when I said everything that I'm saying, choose to become a seeker of your own path, because then you'll start to ask questions. And if you can believe me or you can disbelieve me, it does not matter when we hang up this phone, because everyone individually will consciously make a decision to seek their own knowledge. And that's when we start asking questions, that's when we start to wake up. And now the wonderful thing about it is, because we look at the infrastructures that have been in place, is that 50 years ago, 40 years ago, you start asking questions, you wouldn't get any answers. So now, because of our technology, well, we look at it, I'm being generous about that, but when we look at our technology shift, when we use the power of the internet as we are doing right now, we are making significant changes. It can only take one person that's listening to wake up that could shift the global consciousness on this planet. Now, who is that? Exactly. Who is that person that is going to awaken from us coming together and to create such an influential shift on this planet and that will set a wave for it? And it'll go from this planet across the universe. You know, so this is really beautiful what's happening on this planet right now.
B, let's
hope that we wake up that lightning rod.
B, anything else?
I really want to just, I don't know much about John, but the fact that he worked at Skunk Works, I needed to do more research because I just finished getting off of work. But definitely I'll keep in touch with you guys, and I'll be back online hopefully. And I just want to send positive energy out there into Japan. And, you know, the fact that Tom's letter of the saying that this was like the old days, that's what we need to get back to. We need to get back to our roots, get back closer to spirit and to the oneness of the world. So, you know, that's the type of thing I want to say. And I hope you guys have a good time, and I'm going to keep listening.
Beautiful. All right. Hey, thanks a lot for calling in, man.
Thank you so
appreciate
much.
It.
All right, take care. Bless.
So that kind of leads in really good for the maybe this next caller is the 100th monkey. Seth, have we got that 100th monkey on the line, Stephen?
I'm still holding.
Oh, good. Hey, Stephen.
You there, Stephen? Hello?
I just heard him.
Stephen, was that you I heard? Well, let's see.
Well, when Steven comes back on, put him through stuff. I also really quickly want to give a big thank you to Don and Seth for hooking us up to be able to do a 2-hour show at last minute. And John, thank you, because we had you scheduled for the 30th, but we switched you around.
Yeah, my pleasure to be here.
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you can hear me.
Yeah.
Oh, we can hear you. Great. How are you doing
this
tonight?
This is Steve Sindoni.
Yes, how are you guys?
If you guys remember, we interviewed him, what was that, a month and a half ago? No, 2 months?
Yeah,
I can't even keep track of time anymore.
So what do you think
Ramon,
about
how
all
are
this? What do you think about all this stuff going on, Stephen?
What do I think? I think it's a staged event created by HAARP that is strategically designed to bring the world to its knees, to take the third largest power, Japan, and turn them into a third world nation. And being this is working there, it's just a matter of time before one of the 110 nuclear facilities here in the United States has a similar disaster.
Hmm. Are you talking about the new Madras fault line? Because that's it's funny how most of the nuclear facilities are set up there.
Well, you know, case in point, history has a way of repeating itself. If we go back to January 11th of 2010, we have an earthquake in Haiti. Here it is now. We have another major disaster on March 11th now in Japan. Notice the 11th comes into play. We can go back to the United States. We've got 9/11 on September 11th of 2001. Now,
and 3/11 wasn't 3/11 the blackout in the East Coast?
Exactly. So here's my point: if this 11 date is a major date for sinister groups to create chaos and they put their signature on it, then we have no coincidence here.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to the Japan quake, my own personal view, I think it's a combination of both. I think they piggyback it to make it
You know, you have to have a domino effect. Something has to create. You have to light the match to light off the powder keg. But you have to have a situation there that can ignite it. You need to have an accelerant there. And you had an accelerant with the plates already out of whack.
John?
Well, looking at the current events, you know, we do have to kind of look at the combination, because we did start the show talking about the amplified solar events that were taking place, and we did kind of lead in with, is it possible that natural events are utilizing the power of the sun, you know, when it does create these coronal mass ejections or X-rays, can they amplify technologies that are man-made? Can they be used, you know, to in a higher state of consciousness or in a lower state? And the answer, unfortunately, is yes. There's a duality to everything that is in existence, and we have to give that a really big look. Now, when, you know, Stephen made a good point. He says we have the ability to repeat history. Now, when we look at that understanding, then we can take all those warnings, you know, all those messages of repeating ourselves, and we can even do that in our own personal life structure. It's like, how come I keep doing this? I keep, you know, doing this, and the same result keeps happening. And then when we realize that, we get to a point where we can wake up and shift that realization that I keep repeating the same thing over again, and I keep getting the same outcome. Now, what is that telling me? Well, maybe I need to change my procedure.
So then Albert Einstein called that insanity.
Give all of you information here. In October, I went to a solar convention in Anaheim. There was over 500 presenters. Not one presenter was from the United States. There, I was taken aback, because here it is. All these other countries are progressively looking for other alternative energies, and here we are, you know, back in the Stone Age with Fred Flintstone, and not even representing there at that major exhibit there in Anaheim, and I was floored by that.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're definitely being disconnected to the information of the solar activity. You know, again, we're getting these messages from so many different aspects, and that's, you know, I've been kind of, you know, not concerned, but more troubled that the information is being removed from our mainstream, and even science has stopped reporting about the solar activity. And if they do report it, all of a sudden it disappears like an hour or two later. So this has been very interesting. But Stephen, I wanted to ask, you did make a point about the disaster that is in effect, and if it is man influenced, if there is HARP technology being utilized during this, what do you think that the outcome at this point in time is going to be?
Well, I want to tell you right now, you can go to my website. Anybody who's serious about, you know, change, right now there are laws coming into play for martial law to be put into place, there are executive orders that have been passed. They need a major situation in this country in order to implement that. There's too much truth coming down the pike on the internet about this secret government and the things that they're trying to do. We've got more rights taken away in the last 12 years than ever before in history. So right now, we need a change. What I suggest is that people go on Facebook right now. I have a call to action, May 11th, 2011, to be in Washington, D.C. to protest what's happening in America, so that way we can reclaim America, change energy policies, and move out these people in power that are all dinosaurs who need to go and become extinct.
Yeah, that's a nice blunt way of putting it, and you know, there is a level of agreeance in regards
in Washington on that date of May 11th, and I am inviting hundreds of thousands of people to come there so that way we can get back what is rightfully ours, our country. Because right now, if I'm right, the internet will be shut down, they'll have some mass emergency, and then you'll have a guy, Barack Obama, lying to the side of his teeth how the government is going to be your big brother and father and get you through this nightmare that they created.
Stephen, thank you so much for calling. We're trying to get as many phone calls as possible. But give out your website one more time.
Okay. My site is youtube.com, Sindoni, S-I-N-D-O-N-I, Productions, P-R-O-D-U-C-T-I-O-N-S. That is the best place to go to be able to see this information. And you can contact me there, become a subscriber on YouTube, contact me, and go to Facebook. Create your own, set your intention, and be there in Washington on May 11, 2011, and change America. Look what happened in Egypt. If they can do it, we can do it.
Absolutely.
And Wisconsin, too.
Yeah.
Exactly. Thank you, Stephen. Make sure you guys also check out his interview in our archive page. We have Julian from Los Angeles is on line one. Julian?
Yes, hello. Julian?
Hi, hey, Julian. Hi. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, great show. Thank you so much for informing us in so many different ways.
So what's this big play with 11? I mean, everything's happening, you know, 3-11, 9-11, 1-11. What's...
Well, 11 is the first key to mastery in numerology. Pythagoras, being the father of mathematics and numerology, said, everything in the universe is number. That number has a meaning. So 11 being the first number of mastery. Mastery means working things on a higher frequency. The 11 is known as you're being given the key, a key to the door of infinite possibilities, of you connecting with movers and shakers, as well as you're being asked to ruminate, meditate, and then share that information, which is light intelligence, with the rest of the community and the rest of the world. So it's a very strong vibration. And everything in numerology is positive and negative. It has polarities. So as John mentioned, that, you know, we have to look at all different dimensions of what is happening. HARP, you know, we can look at them, but at the same time, we have to ask ourselves the bigger picture, and why would HARP or anyone want to create problems for Japan? And the fact is, you don't think these governments know? I mean, Japan is one of the most advanced governments and has the most technology, most advanced technologies on this planet. So you don't think they would know something would be up if, you know, if HARP or anyone was going to create earthquakes and tsunamis?
Yeah, well, the rumor with that is that they were threatened by the bankers, the dark forces, whatever you want to call them, and they didn't bite on their threat, and that's why they received this. That's the
Yeah, and you know, they're threatened, and also you can take the Chinese earthquake and say that, you know, they were threatened and everyone's threatened, but you know, these governments with these huge GMPs and economies, they have also helped in so many ways in the United States standing on its feet. So I feel what needs to be looked at is what John is talking about in regards to even more of what is happening celestially, what's happening out there in the skies, what's happening with gravity and these solar flares and the sun and all that. I mean, that has a lot also to do with what's going on.
Yeah, well, we have to, again, that's perfect that you state that, because we do have to look outside ourselves. Now, one of the things that I wanted to actually bring up a little bit, if I could, is the human system in itself. When we are in the illusion, we are kind of subconsciously, if not consciously, trained to have a reaction upon when something in a tragedy happens. The first thing that we usually do in a shock situation is we tend to ask the first question, what's responsible for this? And then we usually start to ask, well, who's responsible? You know, who could have done such a thing? What could have done such a thing? And then we usually start to, because we need an answer so bad, we usually start to point fingers. And this is where the energy of distortion starts to happen. Now, I've experienced this in my own personal life, you know, through the mystery school initiations in Egypt. And you're put through these processes to see how you respond. Do you fall into that web, or do you hold the space to see that clarity will reveal itself? Now, in time, because we live in that illusion of time, we get to utilize that as a factor. That clarity will come from this. And when we realize from a higher conscious standpoint that we're going to see the bigger picture when the time is right, but all of our stuff, all our lower agendas, all of our ways of program thinking, our suspicions are going to have to come to the surface. Because it's easy to point it and try to blame HAARP. And if you hear HAARP on one person's Facebook page, you hear it on three people's pages, you hear it on 15 people's pages, guess what? The normal person is going to start to think maybe HAARP had a thing to do with this. You know, so when we understand those influences that could easily be manipulated during a tragedy, during a fear frequency, it's so easy to manipulate the systems that most people don't, you know, have possibly any clue of what I'm talking about on this. We have to do this due diligence. You want to talk to a man called David Icke. This man, he'll take you down the rabbit hole and literally show you that this has been happening for decades on this planet. And, you know, it's kind of amazing. And he stood there for 20 years. And I think I was talking to Julian. I said, if there was a Guinness Book of World Records for the amount of death threats to a person, he probably would win it because he's still alive. And he's able to stand there.
What's important is that 2011, I mean, look at just the year that we're in. We have 2, we have 0, we have an 11. And the 2 is the relationship with the human experience. And this 2011 is having this experience like we've never had it before, because the 11 is there. And when we're in 11 energy, it's all about trust, faith, and awareness. So we're being asked to share our wisdom, as we've been trained for many lifetimes to be here at this time of great change, of this shift of reality that's taking place. For us in this 11 to share our wisdom, our light, in the sum of the 4 of 2011 equals 4 with people, building a new paradigm with our tools to live in this new reality in society. If your listeners really want to understand what's going on, it's important to embrace and hear not only people like John and yourself, but also there's a man called Michio Kaku. Michio Kaku is one of the top physicists on this planet, and he has an amazing video on what is in store for us for 2030. I mean, we're not going anywhere. We're just shifting. Things are changing. But this Earth is going to be the way it is, and most of the people are going to be here. But a new awareness, a new way of dealing with each other as well as with these new technologies are being formed as we speak right now.
So the 2 and 11, that kind of strikes really close to home for me, because that's my birthday is November 2nd.
There you go. So that, and people that, with 11s in their birthday, like yourself, these are you're extremely sensitive and extremely aware, but having this in your birth date, having this in your numerological chart, it also means that one needs to understand how to be in their center, how to come from a place of harmony, because these frequencies, all of a sudden, you start, and you really need to come from a place of clarity, or all kinds of stuff starts happening, everything from you feeling confused or all of a sudden you're hearing all kinds of things on so many different levels, not only physically but spiritually within yourself. I mean, it's a training to get yourself in your center. And we're being asked to really, really center ourselves and come from a place of being fearless instead of coming from fear. And as John said, reaction, where we need to blame someone really quick.
Yep.
Yeah. So I want to state one something. Tom, a couple of days ago, I had him do a tarot card reading on Japan. And it's funny, a lot of the things, I don't know if you remember, Tom, a lot of things that Julian just said coincided with what you said with the you didn't mention the numbers, but just these two powers coming together.
Right.
It's as you were saying, Julian, I just find that very remarkable.
Well, the interesting thing about that day, and you're talking about the day of 3/11/2011, equals an 18/9, and the 18 in tarot is the moon, and the card of the moon has two towers.
Yep. And that, oh man.
Yep.
Tom, didn't those cards come out?
Yep, we had the moon in there. The moon was the crown.
And so, the tower.
Yeah. Yep.
And,
yep.
And as I was talking to John today, if you take 666 equals 18/9, and in numerology the 666 is the ascension of the human being. It's us. So
right.
These events are to happen in order to wake us up to what is really going on, to what's going on in the skies, to what's going on in society, to what's going on in your own home, in your relationship with your loved one, with your mother, your father, your family, your friends. You know, this is a huge wake-up call on so many different levels. We don't even understand it yet.
Yeah.
Indeed.
So, John, he brought up the moon there. John, what kind of effects does the moon have in all that we're experiencing right now on the scientific end of it?
Well, from the scientific standpoint, we understand how the full moons, you know, and a lot of people never really connect the dots. You know, when we understand the tides and how they're tied to the, you know, to lunar activity as well, you know, to the sun and the moon. You know, so when we understand, you know, women, when they're in their proper menstrual cycle, they will actually cycle during the 3 days before or during the full moon. You know, so this is something very interesting when we start seeing so many things that are tied. Now, when we experience a full moon that is coming up now during the spring equinox, it's a very powerful moon because it has a severe, an increased effect on the gravity of the planet to the tide, you know, to the tide pools, and all, you know, so that is going to be significant. And when we start looking at, you know, these events lining up on the planet, you know, of course, you know, people are going to ask, well, should we be concerned? Well, we have to kind of understand, you've heard the term lunacy, correct?
Right.
And what does that mean? To kind of go insane, right? Or a lunatic? That
right.
term was meant, you know, because they coined that phrase because during the full moon, people would go nuts. You know, so that's where the term lunacy came from, or lunatic. It's
right.
from the moon. It's like when we start to understand that, does it have an effect? By all means, it does.
Well, we're actually coming into this full moon. The moon is going to be closer to the Earth than it's been since, I think, 92.
Exactly.
So,
you know, so now let's take that into mind. If it's the moon event alone, it's one thing. But then when we look at the astrological lineup, if the solar activity is going to continue and increase, that also plays a part. You know, so when we talk about these increases, now this is mathematical. You know, and people like Michio Kaku can actually see it within the math. Julian can see it within the math because they understand the way the universe has a functionality to it. The Mayans were able to do this in such incredible level of accuracy. You know, so this is all of a sudden where it doesn't matter how long ago an event is. You can almost do the math on it and pretty much have a 99% accuracy that event will occur. Mm. So now, again, human consciousness plays a part on this. If we are forewarned, you know, just again, like the events where right now people are posting on Facebook like crazy, they're taking the fear energy and they're manipulating it. So now one of the biggest links is a West Coast earthquake imminent. You
right.
know, so should we be worried? And that even got into the news. Should we be worried? Well, one of the things is that we should do is we should always be prepared. And that's mental preparedness. And have yourself, you know, a plan for any emergency situation. It doesn't really matter. It can be a local fire in your neighborhood, or a canyon fire, or an earthquake, or a flash flood. You would react the same way to a local event, to a global event. You know, it's to be prepared. Have reserves at hand. You know, have a backpack with emergency supplies so you can move if you have to. You know, because right. Even if a gas vein blows up in your neighborhood, you know, that is considered emergency at the moment, and we should be prepared for that. A fire in our own home is the same thing. Have a plan in case there is a situation that where you need to vacate. So an earthquake is one level of it, but we have to look at it from the bigger consciousness aspect of it.
My intuition flared up not too long after that, the quake. I think I told you, Ramon, didn't I? West Coast. I feel something before April 11th here.
Well, the feeling, you know, you're probably feeling it. Now, we have to understand when a tectonic plate moves. Now, this is kind of fringe, you know, because a lot of people, you know, even like Brooks and I, we have this talk about it, and there are other people out there that will talk about this. Now, we have the technology to measure, and I'm going to hang myself out here. And, you know, it doesn't matter if there's criticism, but one of the things that I feel is that this global event that's happening, we've already seen the island of Tokyo move about, was it 8 inches or something like that?
Yeah.
Or was it 8 feet? Which one was it?
It was 2.4 meters, which is around 10 feet.
About 10 feet, yeah, 8 to 10 feet. So there was a shift. Now, when we have all the satellites in place, now one of the things that I'm probably going to be able to corroborate this very soon is that the Earth is in an expansion phase.
I would have to agree with you.
Yep.
It's going to be growing in mass. You know, it's going to expand outwards again because energy has a tendency to do that. When we look at the universe itself, when we look at every planetary system, you know, we're getting the eyes. We're able to realize that there's an expansion aspect. Now, we can also bring that home into us too because we're going into this expansion as well. Hopefully, you're not doing it via physical weight. You're doing it via energetic. Right. Energetic expansion. And this is the shift in our consciousness, you know. So, yeah, I tried to throw a little humor in there. But this is and Stephen brought up a good point, and I'm not discrediting anyone that's contributed here today. But in that level of awakening, I did want to draw us to one thing that I think, because of the events that happened in Japan, will prove that the rest of the Earth, or the rest of the global nations are looking at it. Because on the latest news today at the World Nuclear News, there is a report that the billion-euro nuclear shutdown in Germany is taking place. The government declared a 3-month moratorium on nuclear power, in which 8 reactors will stay offline.
Wow.
So this is big. Now, Germany has followed. Because of this, we can see that this is a moment for us to clean up our stuff, to check ourselves, to realize what have we implemented on this planet, and is it the proper infrastructure?
Yeah. John, there's a question that we have to ask you that we ask all our guests, and we don't have that much time left. What is consciousness, and how does it affect our world?
Well, consciousness... that brings me back to almost what the bleep is, when we realize that the universe doesn't exist without consciousness being a part of it. We're realizing quantum physics, when we're understanding the observer effect, that particles, electrons, will operate completely different when they're being observed to when they're not being observed. And this is a missing link at this point in time that cannot be perfectly answered at this point in time. You know, but when we understand that the human consciousness, that my reality is your reality. You are part of my reality, and guess what? I am part of your reality. And you are in the conscious creation aspect of this. And when we have the ability, if we can truly, for a moment, tap into that realization of what we truly are, then we will truly know what consciousness is. Because it is us.
It's an expansive experience.
Yeah, and we are in the creation of it. When your consciousness releases, does all this still continue? Yeah. Is this all a matrix of an illusion? Are we the creators, the individual creators? Are you creating me just as I am creating you?
Let me. We have a 7 minutes left, so if someone wants to call for a couple minutes, let me give out the number 530-327-7602. And if you're calling,
actually, Ramon, let's. I think we want to give Jonna a chance to give us some parting words. And
oh yeah.
Oh God, I thought I was going to finish with that.
Oh no.
Okay. Well, give
us John in a nutshell.
Well, me in a nutshell is that I've chosen to be a way shower. And, actually, I'm going to coin another phrase that Morpheus uses. I can only show you the door. It is up to you to choose to walk through it. And when we realize that what that meaning is that, the other level of connection to that is that there is a difference between knowing the path and walking the path. And I have chosen to be a person that walks the path. And every day I go deep within myself. I meditate. I'm in gratitude, and I look in towards myself where I can be of service to others, and move myself into outside of the illusions so I can share and to be edging people closer to the doors of realization of what truly exists. So that's the path I've chosen. When I work with people on a one-on-one, I don't care if it's a person across the street or if it's an A-class movie star. I do it in service. I do it as a gift.
Yeah. Actually, this summer I had a chance to work with you with the what's the machine called?
The Lifestream Generator.
No, were pretty much electrocuting me?
Yeah, the live stream generator, yes, that is the technology that works with radiant energy is what we like to call it, which is actually some of the forgotten technology of Nikola Tesla. And I think you were also part of our Brooks Agnew and I, our intention experiment out in the field.
Yeah, 200 people out in the field.
And it was actually 313 people out in the field holding hands.
Really?
And we had that amazing event where the clouds popped open. And but every year we've always had an amazing event that happens when we bring the technology out there. But it's human consciousness. It's us when we come together as a collective that really makes the magic happen. I can only do so much as an individual, and I realized I had to step out, and I had to start finding people like you and Tom, and we had to start coming together because each of us have a piece of the puzzle. And right now we're all waking up and we're all seeking to put that puzzle together. Exactly. And this will allow us not to repeat, not to be asleep. We will have the opportunity to complete this great cycle on this planet and shift the consciousness.
I think right now is really important. Like that old saying says that, one person has the tail of the elephant, the other person has the trunk, and they're all arguing about that it's not what they're saying it is. It's very important for all of us to realize we have a small piece, but until we able to put it together through conscious expansion is the only way that we're going to be able to see the entire elephant.
Absolutely.
And not argue.
Perfect. Who is that 100th monkey? You got to remember, there's 99 other monkies in line, and there's one. There's 100, but if you take one of them away, we have to make that connection.
Yep.
So we're all part of it. It takes 100.
I think we're close.
We're very close. And events like this, it's the hardest thing for people to realize, is that this is a wake-up call. And awakenings can happen in many ways. They can happen beautiful and profoundly. They can also happen very rudely, but an awakening nonetheless.
Me and Tom always talk about the kick to the groin, as I like to call it.
Yeah.
Really quickly, what was that for you in your life? What was the – how did life – because for some reason humans like getting kicked in their groin area in order to wake up.
What turns it toward consciousness?
Oh, well, I started out very early in my life because I was working in the top secret work, and I was making actually a ridiculous amount of money at my age. So I was actually going into human self-explorations. Actually, I was working with Rajneesh, which is now Osho, and I was doing isolation tank studies, you know, working in meditation, working with John C. Lilly, you know, understanding the consciousness with dolphins. And so I literally, when I was 24, I popped. And I opened up a door that was too big for me to handle. And out of fear, I went back in. And I'm going to admit it, I literally went back to sleep, or semi-lucid sleep of consciousness, until a door opened of opportunity for me when I was at a critical mass in my life where everything, I was in the movie industry, you know, had a multi-million dollar business, you know, living at the top of the Hollywood Hills with brokerage accounts, the BMW. And all of a sudden, that was no longer suited. And all of it started to go away, and I released it all. And I had to, like, let go of that illusion of life so I could truly do what I'm here to do. Well, and from letting go of all that is where Lifestream, because I was able to realign my course to actually remember my roots and to remember what I remembered, you know, back in the late 70s, early 80s.
Yeah, we're actually
we are out of time, so yeah. We got to sign off here, so... John, I want to thank you very much for coming on tonight. Very, very enlightening and informing. So we really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you.
And we want to thank everybody for listening. And check out our site, conscious-tv.com. And we will talk to everybody next week.
Good night.
Good night.